going on, y'all? Welcome back to the Roto-World Basketball Show. I'm Dan Titus filling in for Vaughn Dalzell because he got downgraded from questionable to out due to flu-like symptoms. We wish him well, but I'm joined with Rafael Johnson of Roto-World himself, and we got some things to talk about. It's week 17, All-Star break. We're going to run through all the recent news and injuries going around the league, give you a little predictions of what we feel like how the All-Star break is going to shake out in terms of the competition, and give you some surprises and disappointments throughout the season since this is the first official break that we've had for fantasy basketball. But first, I have to talk about Raf. What's up with your Knicks and your protesting? Are you protesting? Are you standing on business along with the Knicks here after getting hosed by the Houston Rockets and the refs a couple games ago?
I agree with the sentiment, you know, the reason behind the protest, but it's not going to matter. Like, I think it's been ages since a protest has been upheld, but I just want to get rid of the last 2 minute report because it's like that scene in Barbershop and a lady bashed in the wrong dude's car windows and had the nerve to say my bad after she was like, who the hell is Malcolm Brown? This ain't Malcolm Brown's car. No, the last 2 minute report is basically the NBA saying our bad for like egregious errors. And it's like, just save it, man. Especially in a situation like this, they probably should have just left the game off the report. Like, yeah, we messed this one up. But yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now.
I mean, you have a right to be feeling some type of way. I mean, just last week, everybody was praising the New York Knicks and the moves that they made. This is probably the happiest I've seen you since we've been doing this for two seasons. And then to have like three straight L's and to just have a game ripped away from you like that on such a BS call. It sucks as a Knicks fan. Like you guys will be fine though. Like, I'm just hoping that Isaiah Hartenstein is not out for a long period of time. Like, that's what I'm hoping for right now.
Yeah, that's a big thing. You know, whether they're talking fantasy or real basketball, they just need to get healthy. So the break comes at a good time for them. I think Atlanta's another team. We'll talk about them in this show. From an injury standpoint, you know, the All-Star break coming now is going to be good for them. And there may not be straightforward answers in terms of fantasy pickups too. So,
right. There is a straightforward answer with Victor Wembanyama though. I think at this point, would you say that he's untouchable in fantasy? Because after a couple of days ago, he just drops a triple-double that included 10 blocks, 27 points, 14 rebounds, 10 blocks. Also had 5 assists. The one thing that's just strikes me as crazy with Wembanyama right now is that he's only played over 30 minutes in 38% of games, 18 out of 48. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely not only egregious on Popovich's part, but also crazy that he's still a top 15 player in 9 cat leagues and top 20 in points leagues, despite only averaging like 28 minutes a game.
It's absurd. Like, we knew he would have a major impact on the league when he got here, just because you have this skill set that he does combined with the physical tools. We haven't seen that in the league, I don't think, ever. You know, maybe I heard someone say maybe like a young Ralph Sampson, but even he wasn't doing some of the things that Wemby does in transition or within the half court offensively. So, yeah, I think he is untouchable in fantasy. Like, that's like get thrown out of the league type stuff if you try to trade him, because there's some sort of collusion going on if you were to move him, because I don't think there's like a player that you can get one for one in terms of a trade. And then if you take multiple players, you're going to have to cut some guys. So it's like, no, he's definitely untouchable in fantasy.
Like, I mean, I'm trying to think about, like, there's only probably two players that I'd even maybe consider. And you're talking SGA and Jokic. But at that point, you know, I guess if you're trying to get more blocks, maybe you make that SGA trade. But, like, I don't see any other person outside of those two guys. And I'm like, yeah, I'd trade Victor Wembanyama for that. Like, the upside is just too high. And, like, you compare him to Ralph Sampson, like, I'm already thinking we're going to start seeing those Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson type stat lines. I mean, he just did it here. Yeah. But, I mean, we could see that more of that just in his rookie season, man. Like, all right, are we to the point now where how high are you taking him next year?
Whew. I think I would go top 5 in redrafts. Dynasty League, he has to be number 1. Like,
No question.
You know, so let's take that off the table right now. But I think top five, you know, Jokic and SGA, as you mentioned, would probably be the two guys I would consider taking ahead of him. Embiid, as productive as he is, you've got the injury concerns. And I don't know if I'd have Tyrese Halliburton in that category either, maybe like right behind those guys. So I think you're looking at three, maybe four in a draft that I take Wemby.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Last week we had Kurt Heelan on from NBC. It was a great show. If you guys haven't saw it, check it out. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. It's always great to have perspective from someone that's closer to the game. And one thing we all agreed on was that the Dallas Mavericks were clear winners at the deadline. And one person that we talked about specifically was Daniel Gafford and the impact he'll make coming into Dallas. And so far, my God, 18 points, 13 rebounds, and three blocks. He's averaging over the course of the last two games.
I think two games.
I mean, is this at this point, have you seen enough in Gafford and the way that he's playing that we could say that he's going to likely be the starter going forward, or is it a bit too soon for that?
I think it's a little too soon. I want to see what we get out of Derek Lively once he returns from the broken nose, I mean, likely after the All-Star break, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know if I would necessarily cede the job to Gafford right away. But the thing about these two games is that he's played, what, 24 minutes in each? If that in the first game, if I'm not mistaken. So he's long been someone who doesn't need to play. Like, he's not going to play like 30 minutes a night, you know, whether it's foul trouble or that occasional trip to the locker room during the game over a nagging injury. You may get 28 minutes, but I think in his case, where he is now playing alongside Luka and Kyrie, probably only needs about 23 to 25 minutes to provide really good value. So even if you were to come off the bench, I don't think it's a big deal because they're going to be staggering Luka and Kyrie's minutes as it is. So, yeah, I don't really know if it matters if he starts.
Yeah, I don't think it does either. And I think that's one of the things we were talking about. I was like, I feel like they mm-hmm. could both eat in a timeshare. I know you're not a per 36 guy, but just it's just funny looking at these numbers, dude. Like 30 points, 22 rebounds, and like five blocks and a steal and a half. Like, that's just absurd. No way he sustains that. But I think it's definitely makes the case like he's a top 40 player right now in nine mm-hmm. cat leagues. I think he could sustain that based off of getting the same workload he was getting in Washington. Like, he's just a permanent guy. You don't need 30 minutes of Daniel Gafford to be effective. So, yeah, I am curious. I think Derek Lively was upgraded to questionable on Wednesday, but I agree with you. Like, there's no sense in really bringing him back yet, but we'll see how the injury report shakes out. But I think right now you've got to feel really good about having Daniel Gafford post-trade. Another guy that you're probably really excited to have if you have him on your roster is Buddy Hield. This guy's been providing second-round value in the three games that he's played for the Sixers thus far. Is this sustainable? In my opinion, I don't know that it is, because I think a lot of what's driving his fantasy appeal right now is his assists. He's averaging like seven assists in the, over the last three games, but his potential assists is like eight per game. So that conversion, people are going to start missing shots eventually, right?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Hield?
Yeah, I don't know if second round value is sustainable. They've also had injuries like Tobias Harris being in and out of the lineup kind of opens some things up for him in terms of more opportunities with the basketball in his hands. But yeah, I think he can be like a top 50 player in this role, but I don't know. Second round, that's a bit much to expect, even with his good start in Philadelphia.
Yeah, really curious to see what it looks like with Buddy Hield with the Sixers actually healthy, man. Like, Anthony Melton's going to come back eventually. Kelly Oubre had a great game the last game, but he's been kind of off and on. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, the big man JoJo, when he comes back, I think that's where we're really going to see the real life basketball element of Buddy Hield's impact really take shape. Do you expect anything about Kyle Lowry coming in? Like, do you think that hurts campaign? Like, I mean, we're talking deep league here. Like, I don't think either of us would expect to pick up Kyle Lowry, but like, what's the trickle down effect of him being there?
I think it would be campaign who takes the biggest hit. You know, Lowry obviously hasn't been in the organization, but he knows Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse, you know, from prior connections. So I think if anyone takes the hit, it's going to be campaign. But I don't really know. Like you said, I don't know if that's saying too much in terms of fantasy, because you got Tyrese Maxey there. As long as he's healthy, he's going to play 33 to 35 per night.
Yeah. And Paul Reed, we finally got a few good games of Paul Reed, man. Do you think that we can feel safe now as a fantasy manager now? Like, he had a couple duds out the gates, but I feel like he's finally coming around.
Yeah, and I think he's in a situation where it really didn't matter if you felt safe. You just kind of had to roll with him. Is there really no other options, you know? You're not going to roster Mo Bamba. No. But, yeah, so Reed, it's good to see him put together a few games just for those fantasy managers who may be, prone to panic a bit in terms of dropping guys or trying to move on from them. So, yeah, I think he's going to be fine. And like I said, you really didn't have anywhere else to turn in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's been a top 100 player in points leagues, averaging 30 over his last 30 per game, fantasy points over the last 7 days, and in nine cat leagues. Love to see the stocks that he's providing, and not doing too much in the scoring department, but the rebounds and the stocks is exactly what you want for Paul Reed when you invested in him. Some other guys at the trade deadline that we talked about was GG Jackson. He's showing out, playing really well. You mentioned our man Money Marv. He had a couple of bad games, and now he seems to be back. Trey Mann is a guy that I think I wasn't expecting. Like, we talked about it a little bit. I think you were the one that brought him up, being that he hadn't had a big opportunity in Oklahoma City. But anytime he got on the floor, he seemed to produce. And with LaMelo Ball, like, I feel like we have no idea when he's coming back. Like, do you think Trey Mann has some staying power, at least in the short term here?
I think he does. Obviously he's starting. I think he, in extremely deep leagues, Vasily J. Micic would be on the radar as well as the backup. But, yeah, I think, man, it does have some staying power here. Like you said, we don't know when LaMelo is going to be back. Same with Mark Williams. Their medical situation in Charlotte it's infuriating if you're a fantasy manager. Because all you want is some clarity, but there never really seems to be any. So, yeah, I think if you have Trey Mann, you just kind of roll with him, see how things go these next few weeks.
Yeah, one guy that I think I got to renege my stance, man. It's Grant Williams. I did not think he was going to be that good at fantasy basketball. From all the reports of, him going sour on most of the players in Dallas, and I didn't realize he was actually from, like, the North Carolina area. Charlotte. So, So, this is a coming home party for him. So I feel like, kind of similar to RJ Barrett. It's like, hey, this is like my hometown. Like, let me ball out a little bit. And he's been doing it, man. He's been averaging 18 points and 6 boards over the last few games. And is this a guy that you've picked up in any leagues? Like, do you think that there's a legitimacy to actually keeping him fantasy viable right now?
Yeah, I was beaten to the punch on him in a couple of leagues. I was picking him up. I think even in that reserve role, he's in a good spot in terms of providing value. Obviously doesn't play the same position as Mark Williams, but not having him available kind of opens some things up. In the past, we saw PJ Washington play the five. They can use Grant there in smaller lineups as well. So he's going to get the minutes, I think, that he needs to be fantasy relevant. And he's done a good job in Charlotte thus far.
Yeah, he seems like a good adult in the room too. With Brandon Miller, like, all of the reports that I've seen about the maturity of Brandon Miller, and I think it actually feels good getting Grant Williams in there, a guy that can kind of, comes from a winning environment, kind of change the culture there a little bit. I don't know about change the culture, but at least he'll have a positive impact on the culture, at least in the short term. Want to talk about real quick, just not fantasy basketball related, but Shaq got his jersey retired in Orlando yesterday. Really dope ceremony. Loved that Penny Hardaway was one of the ones to really talk about him and his journey there. And Shaq said it was like one of the most impressive accomplishments of his career. And I wanted to just ask you a couple things. One, surprisingly, that there's only three players that have their jerseys retired by three different teams. Wilt Chamberlain, obviously, Pete Maravich, and then Shaq. Was surprised at Pete Maravich because he never actually played for the Pelicans. Well, New Orleans didn't have a franchise, but they retired his number anyway because of what he did at LSU, one of the best college basketball players of all time. But I wanted to ask you, what players do you think currently are going to warrant getting their jersey retired by three teams?
Whew, that's a good question. Man, because in this era, guys seem to move around. Like, I don't know if LeBron would get his jersey retired in Miami, for example.
What?
I know he won two titles, but it's just the way that things went when he left. I think that may be a sticking point. They'll probably eventually figure it out, but he won two titles there for crying out loud. So I think they'll figure that out eventually.
He'll get there.
I mean, Kevin Durant, I don't really know if he would.
Who's the third? I mean, I think
OKC and Golden State for sure, but you're not going to get, I don't think you can get one in Brooklyn. You know,
if he wins with the Suns, that's his only chance, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If he wins, he has to win, though. Have a couple other names for you.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard. There's a chance. If he retires a Clipper, is there a chance?
Man, I think it's possible, because then you're kind of Toronto. He was only there 1 year, so I can see the longevity argument against it. But that 1 year delivered their first and, to this point, only championship. San Antonio. How many did he win there? Did he win two or just one?
San Antonio. Well, he got a finals MVP there, so I feel like that was definitely –
Okay, so, all right, our producer Adam's saying he may have won two.
Oh, two, okay, but, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's possible. I know they didn't like the way things went down when he left or before he left and leading up to it, but, yeah, I think – I don't think there are too many guys that could have him retired in three, you know, at this point.
Yeah. I think the only other two guys that came to mind for me were Jason Kidd, possibly. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he'd get Dallas. He would get New Jersey or Brooklyn. Would he get Phoenix? That's the one that I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. But then the other one's Ray Allen. I think he'll get it. Because I think he did enough in, I mean, Milwaukee, obviously, Seattle, and then Boston.
Okay, so Kawhi didn't win two titles in San Antonio. He just had the one in 2014. So, all right.
But he did get that finals MVP. So, like, yep. And I feel like, you know, Andre Iguodala is probably going to get retired by the Sixers and the Golden State Warriors, because I don't know, he got finals MVP for, you know, one of the Warriors.
The Sixers.
I would think so. If I'm a Sixers guy, I feel like I would put him. But that's the thing about it. It's become so liberal now that I feel like the argument could be like, I don't know. There's going to be some stretches out there for sure. Like, I feel like I'm going to be like Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you got the bubble championship, but like, should you be in the rafters in LA? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a fun conversation. Yeah. Westbrook, I mean, is an interesting guy because. Clearly, he'd get it in OKC, but then he's been at so many other places. Yeah. It's a funny conversation, though. So thank you for indulging me here. I mean, the Boston Celtics obviously have the most jerseys retired, like freaking 22 of them to match all of their championships. Baseball, the only other team that can match them is probably the Yankees. Yeah. And the Yankees, spring training, all that stuff is happening right now. And the countdown to spring training is on. So for those looking to get a head start on the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World basketball draft guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft success. Visit NBCSports.com/draft guide and use promo code BASEBALL, BASEBALL 24, to get 10% off at checkout. Yeah, I would love to get into fantasy baseball. Mm-hmm. I usually do like four or five teams. So now that spring training, it's crazy how quickly everything's coming together, man. Football ends, baseball starts, basketball up in between it. But in between that, there's been some injuries, man. I feel for the Miami Heat. They've been injury riddled all season long. They acquired Terry Rozier from the Charlotte Hornets. Just started to find his groove, it feels like, and then he suffers a knee sprain injury that looks like it's going to sideline him, at least in the short term. There hasn't been a timetable yet, but what are you doing, I guess, in lieu of that injury? Who are you picking up if this ends up being a little bit long of an injury?
I think Duncan Robinson and Jaime Jaquez Jr. are the two guys that most fantasy people kind of gravitated towards in the immediate aftermath. Duncan Robinson at 6 3-pointers, scored 23 points in their blowout of the Bucks on Tuesday. So that was a good performance for him as a starter. Jaquez, solid off the bench, but I think a lot of us expected him to remain in the starting lineup with Jimmy Butler also out. But that didn't happen. So those two, I think, I would still roll with. I can see like Caleb Martin being a possibility as well, even though he didn't play too well against Milwaukee. He's someone else to be on there. Beyond that, I think you just kind of watch listing Kevin Love and Nikola Jovic just to see what they do. Miami's schedule isn't great, but due to the long-term nature of the Rozier and Richardson injuries, you still may want to like get out in front of things and add a few of those guys right now.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. The Josh Richardson injury too. He injured his shoulder. He's going to be missing multiple weeks. I think Caleb Martin makes a lot of sense, and I think Duncan Robinson, for what he's done and what he's shown earlier in the season with all the injuries, certainly someone that's going to be in the rotation as long as he's avoiding scraps with Jaylen Brown there. But Jaime Jaquez, you know, a guy that kind of hit the rookie wall, I think is someone that we could expect to see, because like one of the things, and I don't know if he's necessarily a disappointment on a per game value, but Jimmy Butler just hasn't really been available. So, you know, if that continues, and, you know, obviously the Miami Heat are always a team that's going to be dangerous in the playoffs and they're always playing for the longer term, I think we could probably see more of this Jaime Jaquez, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin experience, especially as they're dealing with these injuries to two guys that are, you know, commanding a decent amount of rotational minutes here. Also would expect Tyler Hero to step up, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see here. I would love to just get a timetable, but Terry Rozier did post a video of Wolverine on his Instagram. So I guess he's like some kind of supernatural healer. So I don't know. Maybe he'll beat this timeline whenever that comes out. One person that's always known for being injured is Malcolm Brogdon. He's dealing with some elbow tendonitis. He's not going to be reevaluated for 2 weeks. What are we doing here, man? This seems like you've always been an advocate for Scoot Henderson, and I think now is just more validation of that.
Yeah, he's been playing better. He's been more efficient in recent games than he was early in the season. He also missed time due to injury. It's a foot sprain. He missed 2 games over the weekend. The fact that he played 30-plus last night coming off of that injury, I think is a positive sign regarding the severity of it. So that's all the more to kind of commit to Scoot in standard leagues. You still may take a hit in a field goal percentage category, but at this point, it's either him or Simons. Simons is already rostered everywhere, so just take the plunge on Scoot, man.
Yeah, I think you take the plunge on Scoot. This is eventually going to be one of those guys that, you know, Portland not really going anywhere, wanting to see more out of Scoot. I think this is just a perfect scenario for him to actually have. Not that he's looking over his shoulder, but I just think the usage is going to go up with Brogdon not being around anymore, at least in the short term here. And anytime you put an at least in front of something or being reevaluated, to me sounds like at least 3 or 4 weeks here. Yeah. And they have no reason to rush Brogdon back in any sense. So one other person that had, you know, that at least in front of his injury designation was Fred VanVleet. He was expected to miss at least 4 games. This past Monday was his 4th game. It's already been reported he's going to be out for Wednesday. So he's going to be out through the All-Star break. Are you getting concerned? This is just another adductor injury, which seems to be the most common injury now for a lot of basketball players. So Amen Thompson. I think it's this is the time, man. I have him rostered in a couple of leagues and I've been loving the results. You know, he may not score a lot, but between rebounds, assists, and stocks, man, like you can't ask for much more out of a rookie.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think his rest of season value is a reason why I would hold on to him even after VanVleet returns, whenever that may be. Just because, like you said, he may not score too much, but he can give you just about everything else in terms of those counting stats. The percentages can be a bit wonky at times, but I think he's someone to go with. And even with their win over the Knicks on Monday, they're still 3 out of that last play-in spot. So I don't think it takes too much to envision a scenario in which the Rockets kind of fade after the All-Star break, especially if Van Vliet isn't ready to go by then. So I think if you have Amen Thompson, I'm holding on to him.
Yeah, what are you doing with Cam Whitmore? Because, you know, he's dealing with an ankle injury, mm-hmm. and he's a guy that's really come on as of late. You know, definitely been climbing the rookie ladder, and just in terms of his impact on the Rockets, man, like the usage rate and what he's doing for their scoring punch. Yeah. He's been dropped a lot. I think he's down to 17% in Yahoo leagues. Is he someone that you think has some rest of the season appeal and someone that you would scoop up too?
He does, just because we still don't know the deal with Tari Eason. In terms of his leg injury. And that's when Whitmore's value kind of rose, is when, you know, Eason was first sidelined. So I think it kind of depends on what your roster looks like right now, whether or not you can afford to kind of stash someone like him. But if you can, I think it's worth considering, because he's someone like Amen Thompson. He's probably going to play more, you know, down the stretch than he currently is.
Yeah, I feel like this is the part of the season where if your team happens to be healthy, which I don't think I have that case in many situations, but if you stash someone in injury in an IL spot, like this is the time that you want to stash these people that could be, you know, because we're not terribly far away from fantasy playoffs, man. Like standard leagues, we're like 4 weeks away. So this is definitely prime season that you want to be preparing for that. To that, you know, there's a couple players like Onyeka Okongwu was a very popular ad. You know, I saw him hovering around 60%. So shallow leagues, he was widely out there. And then once Clint Capella got hurt, it was like, oh man, Okongwu to the moon here. And then he gets hurt and now he's going to be out for 10 days. So what do you think the Atlanta Hawks are going to do here? Play small? Is there any immediate ad that you can expect, you know, after the All-Star break that might help your fantasy team?
I think they're going to play small. Like, they've got Bruno Fernando on the roster. Maybe he starts games, but I don't see him suddenly playing like 28 to 30 minutes per night. If he does, hey, more power to him. You know, that would make him viable in deeper leagues, but I don't see that happening, you know, especially if they can get DeAndre Hunter off of a minutes restriction. Because then you've got him, Sadiq Bey, and Jalen Johnson. Maybe wreak some havoc with those guys. You've got Bogdanovich as well. So, yeah, I think they're probably going to have to go small just to kind of account for those absences right now.
Yeah, and I thought they have the positional flexibility to do it. You know, running a lineup with Jalen Johnson and Sadiq Bey, and Bruno Fernando can just, you know, be the centerpiece that's not really going to have a lot of usage, just protect the rim, let everybody else go to work. But I don't really see him as a viable ad right now. This is really just going to be the usage spread out, you know, amongst the guys that are already producing at a high clip for the Atlanta Hawks, which surprisingly, I think that's one of my biggest surprises this season. I didn't expect, you know, Quinn Snyder to have one of the most fantasy friendly offenses, in fantasy basketball, but it seems like everybody's eating when they get minutes there. So just a really fun team to have rostered. Couple other just like what seem to be short-term injuries. Jamal Murray is dealing with an adductor injury. He's going to be doubtful for Wednesday. I don't know that you need to pick up Reggie Jackson. Like, if you have a streaming spot, sure. But, you know, I don't expect his absence to be too long. And then Tobias Harris is dealing with a hip injury, which you already mentioned. It doesn't seem like that's going to be a long-term injury, but there just hasn't been too much reports on, like, how he's feeling. I haven't seen a timetable. Heard anything about Tobias that makes you concerned?
I haven't. It's kind of weird that it started out as him being out due to illness, and then it kind of transitioned to a hip injury. So you kind of wonder how long has the hip been bothering him. And, you know, with the lack of information, you know, you hope he's ready after the All-Star break, but you just never know. So I guess you got Kelly Oubre, you can stick with him a bit in the fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, see, Kelly Oubre, yeah, I feel like he's very streaky, but at this point, you know, if Tobias Harris is out, like, that's got to be the play. And, you know, he's somebody you can definitely grab in shallow leagues. He's under 60% rostered, I believe, in Yahoo League. So I would definitely be looking towards him, but I would just like to have a little bit more clarity. But I imagine, like, just because the All-Star break is approaching, wouldn't surprise me if we get a bunch of random, you know, star players out right before the deadline with, you know, the All-Star break just a couple of days away. So Thursday, yeah, we only have three games on Thursday, big slate on Wednesday tonight, but then Thursday is only three games. So I think that's like the perfect time to tune in to Caitlin Clark when she's about to break Kelsey Plum's career NCAA all-time scoring record. And I didn't realize how close she was to Pete Maravich too, for getting that's the all-time record. But Thursday night, just another chance to watch college basketball history when Caitlin Clark chases down the all-time NCAA scoring record when Iowa hosts Michigan. Coverage of the Big Ten matchup begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and it will be exclusively on Peacock. I think the NBA set that up really well for us to be able to watch women's basketball. I'm really excited to see her break that record, man.
Yeah. She's only 8 points away, so make sure you tune in at 7:30 because by about 7:45,
What do you think the prospects of her? I mean, she's averaging 32 a game. What do you think it's going to take for her to get Maravich's record?
I think it would require that scoring average plus a deep run in the NCAA tournament, which is certainly possible. Iowa's been one of the best teams in the country this season, last season as well, reaching a title game. So it's certainly possible. But I think that's what they're going to have to do in order for have a shot of eclipsing Pete Maravich, who accomplished his in 3 years, which is absolutely stunning. But yeah,
That's worthy of getting your jersey retired by a franchise that didn't exist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just going to be a great way to take us into the All-Star break that obviously begins on Friday. But you know, we haven't really talked too much extensively about this weird week that is week 17. It's a 2 week scoring period that goes from February 12th to February 25th. So most of us, we're pretty much done with week 17, part one. So looking ahead, man, being that transactions don't reset in standard leagues, you only have a handful of moves here. So maybe you used a couple in part one. Maybe you want to use a couple in part two. Are there any teams that you're actively targeting for the second half of week 17?
I think Charlotte would be one. We talked about them earlier in the show. They've got three games after the All-Star break. So pretty good schedule there if you have some catching up to do in terms of your fantasy scores. Grant Williams, as you said earlier, prime target, Trey Mann as well. So I think they're one. New Orleans also has three games after the break. You know, the Dyson Daniels injury wasn't huge in terms of fantasy, but for their rotation, that probably frees some minutes up for some guys. Trey Murphy's only rostered in 48% of Yahoo leagues right now. I know his production dropped off a bit, but with that injury, Zion's been kind of a question mark for some of these games recently with his foot issue. Trey Murphy might be someone to keep an eye on for after the break when they've got three games for the remainder of week seven.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. I love the Charlotte call, especially with how many injuries that they're having. You could pick up Trey Mann. You could pick up Grant Williams. Definitely some good, or Micic if you want to go even deeper leagues. One of the teams, the only team that plays five games over the next, I guess you would say, through today, Wednesday, through the end of week 17 is the Golden State Warriors. They play five games. And they play against a really good lineup of the Lakers, Charlotte Hornets, end off with the Denver Nuggets. But I think you could probably, in deeper leagues, if you're just looking for a volume play, maybe pick up Dario Saric. Moses Moody is now back in the rotation. I don't know that I would expect too much. But on that note, actually, I just want to get your thoughts real quick because we've talked about the Warriors extensively here. What do you think about Klay Thompson and the possibility of him getting reduced minutes? And is he still someone that is a must roster going forward in like a little bit of a reduced capacity?
Yeah, I don't think he's a must roster guy at all, especially in shallow leagues, just because the defensive numbers, you know, it'd be one thing if he was shooting poorly but was making up for it with the stocks, but that hasn't really happened. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch, not just his production, but how he handles it, because that obviously will also be a factor in how well he plays when on the court. So yeah, I think I would hold him in standard leagues, but shallow leagues, you really want to keep an eye on those minutes.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's definitely something we're going to be monitoring because the Warriors are actually playing better now. I think they were one of the more perplexing teams that didn't make any moves at the deadline, and I think now we see why. They're going to try to go for it now that Draymond's back. Hopefully he doesn't do anything that might call Adam Silver to get involved again. But that beef with him and Yusuf Nurkic is just hilarious at this point. Like, no, it's just such an insignificant beef that, like, it's just funny that it's getting the media attention that it is. Like, Draymond, you're talking to you. Like, no one was questioning whether Yusuf Nurkic was hard or soft, bro. Like, I'm just so confused by that. Like, why? It just doesn't make any sense. Either way, any other teams that you'd be targeting or players specifically? Utah is a team that plays four games. I don't know that we're going to go dumpster diving yet. I would love to see if Taylor Hendricks can start to pick up some more momentum here. Obviously, the Kelly Olynyk trade has worked out pretty well so far for him. He's a guy that I know we were talking about it with Kingy on the FBI International pod, and we were both kind of like lukewarm on the idea of Kelly Olynyk. Yeah. Have you warmed up to it a little bit more?
Yeah. I think I was a bit salty of the fact that they took like a capable big man for themselves and they aren't going to be anywhere near the postseason.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think he can be an interesting play. I know this guy didn't play well last night, but Simone Fontecchio in Detroit. I think we mentioned him on Friday in passing, but he's someone with their need for spacing. You know, he could be a valuable piece, and he's not going to have to deal with LeBron James, you know, on a consistent basis here. So I think he's someone else to maybe keep an eye on, if not pick up, you know, for the remainder of week 17.
Yeah, I think I neglected to ask it, but like, is there anybody else from the deadline that you were surprised about other than Grant Williams that, you know, Fontecchio kind of fits that bill, right? Because I know you were higher, or at least excited on Quentin Grimes coming over and he just hasn't had a chance to play yet, but I'm still excited for that. Like, I think that that's going to work long term. But is there anyone else that kind of like surprised you that's kind of getting minutes now that you should be picking up in fantasy?
Ooh, not really. I think it's kind of all played out, you know, to plan. I think obviously we mentioned Trey Mann earlier. I think he would be the biggest surprise because he was practically put on ice in Oklahoma City. So for him to take on those starters minutes, and he hasn't been elite, but he's been good enough to retain that role, I think that he would certainly qualify.
Yeah, I'm thinking like in the positive light of like, oh, this guy surprised me. This is great. Yeah. I think on the flip side of that, I'm supremely disappointed in Ben Mathurin. I scooped him up as soon as that trade went down in like three leagues, waiting for him to pop off. And maybe it's just the ankle injury or something, but like, he's been complete trash lately. And so like, I had to drop him. Like, I see the upside in it. Like, the opportunity is there, but he's just not seizing the moment right now. So while Aaron Nesmith is cooking, Mathurin's just kind of been regular. So I'll take the L on that one, man. I thought he was going to be good, and maybe there's still time for it, right? But right now, he's definitely in a funk.
Yeah. Yeah, I think his game hasn't been like the most fantasy-friendly game as it is.
No.
So I certainly understand like the whole opportunity aspect of it, but he's not someone that I was, you know, hunting, you know, to add. Like, if Nesmith were available, that was who I was going to pick up in any fantasy league.
Yeah, I think I was hoping for rookie year version, like are you getting 29 minutes, 16 points, you get to the line a lot, you can help the efficiency. And he's actually shooting better this year, but like he just doesn't do enough outside of scoring to really help you in fantasy. So yeah, I think I was just a bit optimistic there and definitely regretting it now. And then I pick up someone like Grant Williams, who I had no expectations for, and he's actually doing well. So that's fantasy for you. One thing I'd also note about week 17 is that you'll want to avoid the Miami Heat. They only play two games over the course of the rest of this week and going into the end of the scoring period. So as much as it's great, like, you're going to have to take a longer term view on the Heat because, like, you know, we just talked about those injuries with Rozier and Josh Richardson. It just sucks that you pick these guys up and then it's like, oh man, I can only get Jaime Jaquez for a couple of games. So just keep that in mind. You know, obviously if you're depending on your seeding, if you have some margin, take a flyer on someone like Jaime Jaquez because he could help you long term, not just in the short term. So let's move on to the biggest surprises and disappointments as we approach the All-Star break. Want to get your thoughts, man. Like, it's not, I mean, we're 17 weeks in the fantasy basketball season. Like, we're pretty far gone from this point of like over, like, someone's gonna get a lot better at this point. From a positive, who's been your biggest surprise for fantasy basketball this year?
I'm going to go with Jalen Johnson and Grayson Allen. I know there are some people who thought that Johnson could be someone who could take a step forward this season, but I don't think anybody foresaw top 40 value, you know? So kudos to him, and Grayson Allen has kind of fit in seamlessly, you know, next to KD, Booker, and Bradley Beal. Just needs to keep from whacking people in the side of the head while they attempt layups, and I think he'll be all right. But, yeah, he's been a top 75 player. So I think those two would be my surprises to this point in the season.
Yeah, I love the Grayson Allen call. Not only is he among the top 10 in Yahoo Public Leagues in terms of the best teams, like he's like, I want to say like 18% rostered or something like that. So obviously if you picked him up, it's resulting in probably a pretty good standing for your team. But then also just like where he was drafted, like he pretty much went undrafted, and this guy is providing, you know, top 75 value. Like you can't ask for much more. Like that's league winning type of pickups, right? Like I could probably throw Isaiah Hartenstein into that bucket too. But like, sure, he took advantage of an injury, but that's how fantasy goes. My guy was Daniel Gafford. I didn't really have him ranked particularly high. I had him in like the 90 range, like expecting like, okay, Daniel Gafford is going to be solid. To be top 40 in 9 cat leagues is stupid. Like that's like Brook Lopez, you know, ceiling here. And I didn't project that for him. So I think he's probably my biggest surprise. Love the Jalen Johnson call too. I was high on him in the beginning of the season, but I wasn't expecting a top 40. Yeah. What about disappointments?
For the sake of variety, because I think your pick was hit the nail on the head. Obvious. But for the sake of variety, I'm going to go with Jalen Green. I thought that he would be better in terms of the efficiency. Like, he has improved recently. I'll give him credit for that. He's been playing some pretty good basketball the last couple weeks. But the season-long efficiency or lack thereof has been really concerning, because he really doesn't give you defensive stats. You really need those percentages and the scoring to be on point. Hasn't been that way. He's ranked well outside of the top 100. I think he's outside of the top 150, in fact. So, yeah, he would be my pick, but he's second coming in behind your pick.
Jordan Poole, ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Poole. Yeah. It is not a pool party. Far from it. The pool's been closed damn near all year. Dude, it's just bad. Like the fact that he's getting booed in Washington, Adam, you can probably attest to this. Like, is that like a new low? Like, how many people have actually been booed in Washington? Yeah. He's just awful, dude. Like, I wish he could just find his offense. Like, just find your stroke. Like, he's not shooting the ball a lot. He just lost all of his confidence, the turnovers. Super inconsistent. And I'm surprised he's still rostered in as many leagues as he is as it stands. Like, I think it's just the name that people are holding on to. He's rostered in 82% of leagues. It's starting to fall a little bit. But, I mean, the way that he's playing, Andrew Wiggins probably had a vote in that. But I don't think he carried the draft capital that Poole had. You know, like Poole was a top, you know, fourth, fifth round pick that's well outside, you know, late round value right now. So easy one for me. I also invested in Jalen Green. He's had moments where he's been good, but overall, like similar to Ben Mathurin, the skill set just doesn't really translate to fantasy very well. It's just inefficient and doesn't do enough defensively to kind of balance out the inefficiency.
Yeah. It's good calling Wiggins. He was so far down the rankings, I almost forgot about him in terms of disappointment. So,
right. And if you guys haven't already, I know I mentioned Kurt Heelan and all the great work that he does. But to find all your favorite NBC sports shows, go to Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBC Sports. Matthew Berry was live on the beat at Media Row. Doing the happy hour, great shows there. Really great coverage by the team at NBC. So make sure you if you want to check out the podcast, do it over at Amazon Music. So Raf, the All-Star break, I know we teased it last week, is like you're looking forward to the fact that there just actually isn't ball for a handful of days that you can actually get some rest. But you will be watching All-Star weekend. Yes. I'm sure you have some picks about who's going to do certain things. So let's just run through some of the events and who you're picking for these. So let's start with the dunk contest. The field is pretty weak. Who are you going for?
I hope that Jacob Toppin wins it for obvious reasons, him being a Knick. But I think Mac McClung's going to repeat. Like you said, this isn't the most impressive field. Like Jaylen Brown, I don't really think of him as a contest dunker. I think of him more as a in-game dunker, guy who can get up and dunk on somebody. I know Jaime Jaquez did beat KJ Martin in the slam dunk contest in high school. So he's got hops for sure. But yeah, I just think it's going to be Mac McClung's show. And the other guy is just fighting for second place.
I was going to go Mac, but I think Jaime Jaquez is going to bring something that I feel like we already saw what Mac can do. If Mac can hit every one of his dunks on the first try, there's going to be no shot. But I think Jaime's got something up his sleeve. And I did look at the old videos of him dunking in high school. He's got bunnies. So I'm going to go with Jaime on that one just to go for a dark horse because I know Mac's like the odds on favorite. But it's so weird. Like, do we need to change? All right. So this is a whole philosophical conversation here. But like, what does the league need to do to either get NBA players that are actually playing in the NBA to participate in this dunk contest? Or maybe they just do away with it and just find the best dunkers everywhere and just have it like actually be a really fun dunk contest. Like getting the G League guys that aren't really on a roster to do the contest doesn't really make sense to me. Like I feel like you just got to choose one.
Yeah. I don't really know what they can do because what is there left to do in terms of a dunk on a 10 foot rim? Like, that's pretty much what we're all waiting for at this point, you know? And the thing is, unless humans evolve in a manner that's like absolutely ridiculous, there's nothing that's really going to change. So I think I'm fine with four contestants as opposed to eight that they had back in the day. If it were eight with the way that the dunk contest has been, it would be ridiculous. So I'm glad that it's down to four contestants, but I don't really think there's too much they can do unless they decide to just completely scrap it. And I don't think you want to do that with All-Star Weekend.
Yeah. You can't scrap it, man. There's just too much nostalgia and just history in the dunks. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you, man. The creativity is definitely lacking. And I don't know how you find it, but we're definitely running out of options. But it should be fun nonetheless. But I think the best event is always, to me, like at least as of the last like decade, at least, the three-point shootout. Mm-hmm. And we got a nice list of participants here. Malik Beasley, your boy Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Haliburton, Damian Lillard, the reigning champ, Lauri Markkanen, was surprised about that, Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns, a previous winner, and then also Trae Young. Who do you got in that field? Because that's pretty deep.
I'm going with Malik Beasley. Yeah, that... I don't exactly know why. I think just the fact that he's like pretty much a catch and shoot guy, I believe that can help him in this competition. Obviously, I don't think it matters too much. You know, Dame won the title last year, as you noted. He's not just a standing in the corner on the wings and just catch the ball and shoot type of guy. So I don't think it matters too much, but I'm going with Beasley. I could see Karl Anthony Towns winning it again too. You know, the self-proclaimed greatest big man shooter of all time. You know, you add a second title to your resume, you know, that just kind of strengthens it a little bit. So I think I can see him doing it as well, but I'm going to go with Malik Beasley.
Yeah, I was going to go with Karl Anthony Towns. It's exactly that. Like, I feel like he wants to really cement himself as the best big man shooter of all time. And going up there as being a two-time three-point champ, I think, would certainly help his case. So I'm going to go with Karl Anthony Towns. But I like the Beasley call, man, because I think he's so underrated. And I know he's been lobbying to participate for a while. So I think, you know, the bright lights are definitely shining on him. I think he's going to be ready to launch. I'm kind of surprised at Tyrese Haliburton. I feel like just his form alone isn't going to allow him to finish, like, the racks.
Didn't he shoot?
Such a bizarre, like...
He was in it last year, no? I think he reached a final. I can't recall. Let me see here.
I mean, I know he shoots at a 40% clip, so it's not a mount whether he's going to make it.
Buddy and Tyrese were finalists.
Okay, I remember Buddy being there. Okay, interesting. Okay. Damn. All right. So maybe, maybe I need to change it. And it's an indie too.
Yeah. Because Tyrese had 31 points in the first round, but yeah.
That's going to be a fun finish one.
Third. So yeah, it's definitely going to be fun. So I think Tyrese, I think he'll definitely get through the racks for sure. And he probably make most of them too, as we saw last year. So,
right. And then finally, the skills challenge. We got Pacers.
We don't have a pick for Sabrina versus Steph.
Oh, how could I forget that, man? it's so easy to pick Steph. Like, I feel like Steph's going to win. But, man, Sabrina last year was just so unconscious, man. I'm going to go Steph.
Yeah, I think it's the whole rest versus rust discussion. Yeah. Just because, obviously, she's not just sitting at home doing nothing. She's clearly going to prepare for this event, but Steph has been able to get up game shots, and I think that's going to be a difference here. So I think it's going to be an elite competition, but I think Steph will edge it out in the end.
I agree with you. And Steph's on a heater right now, man. This dude's pulling up from the parking lot, game winners. We didn't even talk about that ridiculous game winner last week, man. Just an insane shot. But everything Steph Curry does, I feel like, just is in – leaves us in awe and amazement. But this is going to be a fun competition, man. I'm glad he signed up for that, because Sabrina can definitely shoot too. Skills challenge, we got the Pacers, Haliburton, Mathurin, and Miles Turner. Interesting having Mathurin. I think that could be a that could be their downfall. And then you got Paolo, Anthony Edwards, and Victor Wembanyama, which is the top picks going up. And then you have the team all-stars. So very interesting format that they have here. And then you have the all-stars, where you got Scottie Barnes, Tyrese Maxey, and Trae Young. I'm going to go with team all-stars here, man. I like the combination that they have of good passers, good shooters, and point guards. And I feel like this is like a point guard type competition. So I'm going to go with team all-stars in this one.
I think we go team top picks. And just because Wemby and then Anthony Edwards, you put him in a competitive setting for anything, and he's going to be out to kill. So I think I'm going to go with team top picks to win this one.
I like that. And Anthony Edwards is my pick for All-Star MVP, man. To what you just said, like, I'm just like, I feel like he wants to, I think he's ready to put, to show the world, like, yeah, I'm that dude. I'm next up. He's done it numerous times. And like, just the way that he's an in-game dunker, like, I feel like he'll bring that flair that the All-Star game certainly needs. Yeah, it's going to be a fun game. I'm glad we're going back to the traditional way of doing it. I like the Elam ending, but, you know, I think going east-west and just having these guys compete, I think it's going to be fun.
I agree with that. And I got LeBron for MVP. 20th All-Star game. I think he's going to take home the MVP award.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well, you guys can definitely hold us accountable next week when we talk about All-Star Weekend. Vaughn will probably be back by then, so he can take over the hosting duties. I tried to do my best to fill in for the man, but hey, the guy's voted in hosting. But make sure you tap in back with us next Wednesday, 12 p.m. on Twitch for Rafael Johnson and Dan Titus and Roto World. This is the Roto World Basketball Show. We'll see you next week.